Hi, I'm Bill Goodrich, president of Horizon University. Are you interested in completing your college degree from a Christ-centered, biblically integrated, and fully accredited university? In associate and bachelor degree programs designed for students to excel in their professions as they win and disciple others for Christ in business and ministry. For a theologically sound, affordable, and accredited college institution, visit horizonuniversity.edu and start earning your degree. Excellent teaching today for the leaders of tomorrow. Consider the disciples before Acts chapter 2 and the disciples after Acts chapter 2. What took place in their lives? I believe the coming of the Holy Spirit. How do we receive this blessing? We simply ask.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
The baptism with the Holy Spirit. I've stepped back from going into Mark chapter 14. Lord willing, we'll look at that. I'm bringing back an opportunity for us to consider something that I believe is very, very important. Probably haven't taught on this maybe for over 6 years, but I just felt led by the Spirit of God that He wanted us to consider something today that is very important for you and I, for us individually to consider. Now, if you've been here and you've been in Christ, maybe you've heard what I'm going to teach before me teach this, and that's okay, because it's always new and fresh as we yield to the Holy Spirit. But if you've grown up in churches outside of here, you might have heard a different type of teaching than I'm going to give today. I pray that I will stay real strong, close to Scripture. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. He'll speak to you. He'll speak to me. And we'll see what He has for us, because I believe there's a relationship with God that awaits you and I. And all we have to do is sincerely ask. And at the end of the message, I'm going to leave an opportunity for you to ask if you want to. It's very important that we would ask. And so it's important that we study Scripture. So beginning in John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, I found an interesting thing to be true. Before I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I could not keep His commandments. I could not. I would break them. I'd rebel against God. I did all kinds of things that I'm not proud of and I don't speak of, because that's who I used to be. But it was there, but I had a heart to obey His commandments, but I didn't have the power to do that. But I noticed an interesting thing after I got saved. There was power, but it still seemed that something more was necessary to empower me to keep the commandments. Because after I came to the Lord, I found myself at times trying to keep these commandments in my own power, my own willingness, and doing things that were good, but I still found that I fell short. And about 2 months after we got saved, I went to a teaching on the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I can say that Vi and I, our lives radically changed after that. It changed before because we were saved. I'm not lessening that in any way. But I believe that there was another change that took place in our lives that I am so thankful for, that I began to find out in a powerful way that the Holy Spirit wanted to be the one that helped me and caused me and empowered me to keep the commandments that Jesus had. If you love me, because I love you, Lord, keep my commandments. And I found there's one there to help me keep His commandments, because still I found as a Christian, I could not. But I've learned now 40-some years that there is a person that helps us and dwells inside of us that empowers us to keep his commandments. I believe, as you know in Scripture, that the Father is revealed and we can have a relationship with him. I believe as we go through Scripture, you can see very clearly Jesus is God and we can have a relationship with him. But I also believe in Scripture, as we search through there, there is the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, that we can have a relationship with him and we can understand how he works in our lives and what he wants to do in and through our lives to bring glory to God. And so these relationships that we have with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit are important. Now, I used to believe, I grew up in a certain denominational church, and I knew of the Father, I knew of Jesus Christ, but I never heard of the Holy Spirit. But he's a person, and he wants us to understand that he is there for us. He, as we give our hearts to him, he dwells inside of us, but he wants to empower us to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 16. And I will pray, Jesus is saying, I will ask the Father. Now, don't you think if Jesus asked the Father something that he will do it? I think so. Because Jesus is perfect. He knows everything that needs to be said and how to ask, and there's no false motives in his heart. And so we see, according to Scripture, if you ask anything according to my will, Jesus said, who is God? I will do it. So I will pray, I will ask the Father, and he, the Father, will give you another helper. Now, who is the helper? Look at verse 26. Go down into chapter 14, verse 26. It says, but the helper, comma, the Holy Spirit, comma, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. This helper, we need to know him. We want to be yielded to him. He is the Holy Spirit because he, as it says right there, he will reveal all things and bring to our remembrance all things when we need them. Wherever we go, our workplace, our school place, wherever it is, our neighborhood and all, that we can trust that when we need something from God, that the Holy Spirit will be there working in our lives. So again, in verse 16, and I will pray, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. It's the Holy Spirit. But it's interesting, that word another, you look it up. It's translated correctly when it states one just like me. Jesus was saying, I'm going to send one to you that is just like me. In other words, God. He's God that comes into our lives. And says that he may abide with you. What's the next word there? Forever. How long is forever? Forever. He comes into our life, and as we will see, he dwells inside of our life, and he's with us forever. Scripture says in Hebrews that God says, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. God could not be any closer to us than being indwelt into our lives. The moment that we give our heart to Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit, God himself, according to Scripture, steps right into our lives. It's revealed. Look at verse 17. The Spirit of truth, that's another revelation of who the Spirit of God is. He's truth. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. The world can't know him, but you know him. You can experience him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And he goes on to say, Jesus in verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. How has Jesus come to us after he ascended into heaven and then he's going to come back to this earth? He's come to us in the person of the Holy Spirit, another just like him. And so as we go into Scripture, we learn a lot about the Father, how we can relate with him, how he works in our lives. As we go into Scripture, we learn a lot about Jesus, what we can know about him, how he relates, or how he comes into our life and how we can relate to him. But as we go into Scripture, we can also look at the Holy Spirit, who he is, how he relates into our life, how he works in our life. And it says right here in verse 17 that he will dwell with you and be in you. Two special relationships, I believe, that are taught Scripture, and they flow through Scripture. Jesus refers to it in other places, but definitely in the book of Acts, we see that. He shall be with you. That's the word P-A-R-A. He comes alongside of a person, like a paramedic. Comes alongside. We may have a situation in our life that we need to get to a doctor. We call 911 immediately. Who do they send out? EMS, paramedics come out. They're not the doctors. They're not qualified. They haven't gone through all the schooling, all the teaching and all that, but they are qualified to the point that they are, and they're able to be that person that comes alongside of us, so they usher us to the doctor, to the place that we need to be. The Holy Spirit is that person in our life that will be with us before we know Jesus Christ. He is with us. He's with us afterward. But there's this relationship that He works, drawing us unto a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why in our lives today, if you are saved, you heard the voice of God. You heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you and saying, this is the way of salvation. And He's opened the reality and the truth according to Scripture, God's truth to you. And you've responded to that because He was with you, drawing you to that point. And then when you gave your heart to Jesus, another relationship began with the Holy Spirit that we need to learn how to walk in. It's where He comes into our lives to dwell in our lives. We become sealed, according to Scripture, in the body of Christ. And we can depend upon Him because He will reveal God's truth to us. Go with me, please, to Acts chapter 2. So it's important for us to understand, as I interact with the Father again, I understand how to interact, and how when I interact with Jesus, I know how to interact with Him. But it's important that we understand the Holy Spirit and that we interact with Him and depend upon Him and grow in our understanding and our walks with Him. In verse 8 of chapter 1, before we get to chapter 2, Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Notice it's not in. It's not the word with. In the Greek, it's upon. It's E-P-I in that way. Upon you. And you shall. Look at the result of this relationship. You shall be witnesses to me. In other words, my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. As we depend upon the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, He works in such a way that He sets up opportunities for us to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, because Jesus came for all the earth, for every human being. His desire is that all mankind would be saved, according to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. That's His heart. That's His desire. But who does He use? He uses you and I, as we're empowered by God, by the Holy Spirit, to bring the gospel, the truth of what's found here in the Scripture. How many believe that this is true? The Word of God. We believe that. The Holy Spirit bears witness to that, and He uses us to take it out into the world. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Sometimes we don't even have to talk. Sometimes we just be who we are, and there's those around us that notice there's something different about them. This relationship is amplified. Look at chapter 2, verse 1, that we can have. The Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and then the Holy Spirit will come upon us. And we see the first time that happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them." There it is again. That upon each of them. But look at the result, verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." I think it's wonderful to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you guys? I think it's an amazing privilege. But I believe that Scripture reveals to us that we must come and ask. It can happen the moment I believe we accept Jesus Christ. But I believe more often than not, He brings us to a further walk with Him, and that He introduces us to this relationship. Saved in our lives, June 2nd, 1975. And as I said, 2 months after that, we went to a teaching just like this. And he went through things that we're going to go through here. And at the end, he said, if anybody wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if they want God to have more of them, they want to have power to surrender and God to work in their lives, just raise your hand. And Vi and I, our hands were up like this, just raising. And we just wanted anything that God had for us. We didn't understand everything, but we just knew that that was an important message. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In Scripture, we can see this relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's referred to as come upon you, be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, to be endued with power from on high. It's called the promise of the Father in Luke chapter 24. It's called the Holy Spirit fell upon them. The Holy Spirit was poured out in their lives. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. In non-scriptural terms, we see that it's called the second blessing, the second work of the Holy Spirit. It means to be clothed with the Holy Spirit, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, fitted for service. Some call it being sanctified. There's different things where it's expressed, but it's a real relationship. Now, I want to just talk for a moment about the definition of the baptism with the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. And some definitions. In contrast with the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation, such as regeneration, indwelling, sealing, the upon or filling relationship with the Holy Spirit is related to Christian experience. Christian experience, which plays out in sanctification, empowerment, and service. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. There's the in relationship as an example. But he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe that there we begin to enter into the truth of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The cleansing work, the empowering work that's very important for us today. Regeneration when we accept the Lord. Indwelling when we accept the Lord. Sealing when we accept the Lord. But the upon or filling relationship with the Holy Spirit is related to Christian experience, and it can be a separate relationship that we can cry out for. The works of the Spirit in relation to salvation are once and for all, but the filling with the Spirit, I believe, can be a repeated experience. Why? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I've had the privilege to teach first service, this message. Then I came in and had the privilege of teaching the second service. Now, in between the second service and the third service, I always remember to cry out, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Because sometimes the third service, I've been through this before. You know, you put so much into it before that, and here it is. You don't want to be phony in any way. You just want to be who you are. So, you know, you just, God, I need you to make it real, not me. Because I'm a little tired right now. Not really right now, but sometimes I am. Never mind. But we need to cry out, Lord, I want to be filled anew. Refresh whatever it is, Lord. I don't know if I understand it to this day, but someday I'm going to see you. And I'll maybe understand it at that point, but I'll be so busy falling down before you. But I thank you, Jesus, that you came. And I thank you that you ascended into heaven and you're coming again. But I thank you, Jesus, that you sent another. And then I can understand that you are with me. You'll not forsake me nor leave me. I can understand that you inside of me, I'm sealed. I'm part of the church. I'm going to heaven. If I pass away, I'm going to be with you forever and ever and ever. And I find that then that's true. But I also realize and thank you, Lord, that I can have this relationship and cry out that you would make me even more so today a witness for Jesus Christ. Empower me. If that's true, why wouldn't we want it? The filling of the Spirit may be defined as a spiritual state where the Holy Spirit is fulfilling all that he came to do in the heart and life of the individual believer. Listen to some of the things. Well, this first. It is not a matter of acquiring more of the Holy Spirit, but rather of the Spirit of God acquiring more of us as individuals. How many of us today, by a show of hands, want God to have more of us? Do you guys realize what you're asking for? You're asking for a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're asking him to be set free, not limited, to do what he wants to do. That's why John the Baptist had it right when he said, he, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. You know the translation of that. As Jesus increases, he's the one that causes me to decrease. He's the one that causes us. It's not a matter of acquiring more of the Holy Spirit, but rather of the Spirit of God acquiring more of us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it plays out in this way. But we all, with unveiled face, speaking to the believer, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what he wants to do. Do we really want him to do that? Because if we cry out for him to do that, I guarantee you he will start moving into our hearts. It'll be a wonderful experience, but it will be very testing potentially. Anybody ever heard of trials? Being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Personally, I believe there is an observable difference in the character and quality of the daily life of a Spirit-filled Christian. I've walked with the Lord just for over 40 years. I've not even scratched the surface, but I recognize there's a difference. There's a difference when a person just cries out and says, Lord, I surrender all. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Have your way. If a believer is not Spirit-filled, it is not due to failure on the part of God to make provision, but rather on the part of the individual to appropriate and permit the Spirit of God to fill his or her life. God will do all that he promised to do. Go with me, Acts chapter 8, just for a moment. Here's an example. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 4, just briefly. There's other examples in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 19, and all those things that we see there. But let's look at one and follow me through with this, please. Notice in verse 4, it says, therefore those who were scattered, again, Acts chapter 8, verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. These Gentiles, these people that the Jewish people looked down on. Philip, how dare him? But he was a Gentile, so he went down to the Gentiles. Went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord, notice the result, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which were he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Isn't that wonderful? How many people like joy? Okay, not the person joy. There's a person joy here, but no. That graphic that you're looking at there, the third service, she had that graphic, or the first service, she had that graphic there. Mary put that up there. I couldn't figure out what it was. Was it a guy trying to be a bird? You know, I couldn't figure it out. And she said, no, Bill, you're silly. You missed the whole thing. This guy is excited about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I said, okay, Mary, that makes sense. It really does. Totally makes sense. I like the graphic now. But he's excited. He's running, ready to fly with the Lord. There was great joy in that city. Verse 9, but there was a certain man named Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Look at verse 12. But when they believed, all these people that he's preaching to, Philip preaching to, when they believed, when they trusted in, when they relied to it, when they adhered to Philip, his teaching, but when they believed, Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. And so what we have here is a group of people, Philip preaching to them the gospel message, and then what we see is that they were baptized because they believed in the message. Everybody with me? Very important that they did that. So would you say that they are saved at this point? The answer is yes. To seem to be saved to me. When they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself, look at verse 13. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So look at verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Pete there and John to see them. An amazing thing happened at this point. They heard about what was going on in the church. And then they sent none other than Peter and John down there to see what was going on. So look at verse 15. Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive, what does it say? The Holy Spirit. Now wait a minute. This is Peter and John. They understand everything that was going on. They understand. Would they not, if they felt that these people needed to be saved, wouldn't they go to that as an issue? Absolutely. But they were saved. If they thought they needed to be water baptized, wouldn't they bring that up as an issue? Absolutely. But they had been baptized. So all of a sudden, there's a group of these people. The Holy Spirit has come in them. They are sealed. They are set apart for God. They're part of the church. They're born again. They're on their way to heaven. And they're concerned, here it is right here, Peter and John, that they had received the Holy Spirit. I believe they are pointing out, and they're concerned about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. A separate relationship in, with, and upon where they comes upon for service. Now notice what happens in verse 16. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. There it is. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then verse 17, they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to allow an opportunity to happen in just a moment. That we can lay hands and a person can receive this relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful, beautiful relationship. Some results of receiving the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The believer will experience greater separation from the world and a closer relationship with the Lord. Is that a good thing? It is. Listen to number two. Spiritual truths will be taught the believer in a more abundant way. Is that important? Yeah, if we receive, I believe, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Third, the Holy Spirit can more easily guide the Christian and apply the truths of the Word. Is that important? Absolutely. Greater assurance of salvation and love for God and others. Prayer life will be intensified. The believer's service, empowering and exercise of spiritual gifts will be increased. Being bolder witnesses for Jesus Christ. Consider the disciples before Acts chapter 2 and the disciples after Acts chapter 2. What took place in their lives? I believe the coming of the Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit too. How do we receive this blessing? We simply ask. But we must be careful that we don't quench the Holy Spirit with unbelief. It's important because the enemy can be right here even at this moment and trying to rip off and causing you to be a person of unbelief concerning this. Grieve not the Holy Spirit through sin in your life. If you want to receive this blessing, it's good to say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life. I surrender all. We can ask, I believe, to receive, to appropriate the power and blessing that is provided to us by God. Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, the baptism with relationship with the Holy Spirit, I believe, is a definite experience of which one may know whether he or she has received it. How many today believe that you have received the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Okay, look around. There's weird people among you. Ushers, get them. It's a relationship. It's a beautiful thing that we can know definitely whether we've experienced it or not. The baptism with or being filled relationship with the Holy Spirit can be a work that is distinct from and addition to the regeneration, indwelling, and sealing work of the Holy Spirit. The filling with the Holy Spirit is a work of the Holy Spirit always connected with and primarily for, please listen, for the purpose of testimony and service. It's not there to make us happy or feel good, though that can be part of it. It is one thing to be born again by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and quite another thing to be filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. The filling or baptism with the Holy Spirit is every believer's privilege and birthright. Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." He wants this living water. Scripture goes on and says, "But this Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because he was not yet glorified." Again, it doesn't matter what we call this relationship with the Holy Spirit, but it does matter if these verses describe what is going on in our lives. Have we received this relationship? Can you say, yes, there's a flowing forth, a torrent of the Holy Spirit coming out of your life? The question today is not what we call it, but have you received this blessing? It's very important for us to consider. If not, I believe that it's important for us to simply come and stand upon the truth that's found in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, where Jesus said, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if you ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? Of course not. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" It's important. Scripture says, "Come short in no gift that God has." May this reality that we're talking about be in our lives today. May this reality that we're talking about be in our church today. As we cry out to God today, he will set us aflame. May we cry out that he will set us aflame and baptize with his Holy Spirit. It's a very important thing. The fire of the Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke of refers to the fiery character of the Holy Spirit's operation upon our souls, doing the work of searching us, consuming our fleshly lusts, and refining us, in other words, setting us ablaze for God. So a simple teaching today about a relationship we can have with the Holy Spirit. Again, some 40 years ago, I sat on a Saturday morning listening to this teaching, and someone said, "Do you want this relationship?" And I said, "Yeah, I want it." But how many here today would say, "I want it. I might not understand it, but I just want to receive all that God has for me." There may be you that raised your hand and said, "I've been filled with the Holy Spirit." But Scripture says, "Be ye being filled." And so we're going to leave an opportunity if you want to be filled again, or if you want to just cry out and ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. So let's stand together and let's pray. And the worship team is going to come up and they're going to sing. And let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do in our lives today. But I'm going to ask you, please, don't let the enemy rob something that he may want to do in your life. It's very important. And so as the worship team comes, let's pray at this moment. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for the teaching of your word. I've sensed during this service, Lord, a bigger struggle than any service thus far. And so we pray, Father, that you might bind the enemy in Jesus' name, that you would take any confusion that would be in the hearts of any single person away. And Holy Spirit, that you would speak now to us as individuals. If you're asking us to come and simply receive, to surrender further our lives to be baptized with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would increase and cause the work of us decrease. So touch us now, Lord. You can speak to us. You can reveal the need in our hearts. And we pray that you would guide us to respond as you would want us to. In Jesus' name, pray. If you guys would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then we're going to pray for you. If you'd like to be being filled with the Holy Spirit, then you can come forward in that way too. Just come forward here and we'll pray and close our time together. Father, again, bless in a powerful way for your glory. In Jesus' name. I believe for those that have asked before, that we can ask anew. And God will honor that. And he'll work with his fiery spirit in our lives. We can do that. Those that have asked before, do you want that? So it's a further surrender. But those that are here now that you've never asked before in a very specific way, you need to ask simply. And so right here, please bow. And we're going to leave an opportunity right now. And then I'm going to pray. But as an individual right now, just go to the Father in heaven and ask him to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Just pray. Just cry out. Say, Lord, I want you to increase. Go ahead and pray personally right now. And those that are standing here now, as you're praying, join hands with someone around you or put your hands on somebody in front of you. Father, we but are only people. We're so needy, far beyond what we seem to understand at times. There's not one thing that we can do outside of you. Father, you have sent Jesus for us that we might be saved. Jesus, you've sent the Holy Spirit that we would be empowered. So as hands are laid upon each person here, whether they're holding a hand or touching a person, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would baptize with your Holy Spirit. We don't know what that means for each individual here, but Lord, would you do that for your glory? Fill, Lord, and do with power to be a witness. To have a greater hunger for the word, a stronger prayer life, an eagerness to serve you and follow you. Lord, bring that upon each person that has walked forward here and others back at their seats. If they like that too, they can say amen. May it be so. Change us as individuals, Lord. Change us as a congregation. May we never be the same. Again, just individually cry out. If there's a gift on your heart you want to pray for that gift. But most of all, just simply say, Lord, I surrender. Empower me to be your witness. Over 40 years ago, after I prayed, as you guys have prayed, the guy up on the stage says, I want to give you a warning. And this was the warning. That he said, I guarantee you the enemy is going to try to lie to you. That it's not real. That it really didn't happen. And he's going to try to rob a blessing. He does. He will. Oh, it's just an emotional experience. No, it's according to Scripture. We spent a lot of time going through Scripture. It's right there. So he said this to me. He says, if the enemy comes and tries to make you doubt, then recognize that it truly happened to you, because the enemy wouldn't try to take it away. He doesn't want you to know about this relationship. And so, just beware. God good. Amen. Love all you guys. Father, in Jesus' name, have your way in this church and in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through.